That's great.
Can't hear you.
So we're going to spend about 5-6 minutes just going over yesterday's plot because it flows into today's plot and it was a difficult plot and just trying to
string up.
Sure.
Today
continues on from yesterday. Some of it is not that easy. Then afterwards it becomes easy. The other days it's spiritual. The end of the first half of the Amid Aleph and the second half mirror each other. So once you get the first half, the second one is easier. Then Amid Beis is a little bit easier. It's not easy, it's not a godly commercial, but it's a little bit easier than yesterday. But it still follows from yesterday. The commercial goes off into a long tangent, so that we're not going to finish even tonight. But it goes on yet into tomorrow. So it's yesterday, today, and tomorrow, so one big challenge. So yesterday, basically, we learned in our Mishnah about the rules of Chol Hamoed and the rules of Shviyat. For the most part, we're talking about Chol Hamoed because it was a Masechta about Chol Hamoed. But the Mishnah also, the rules are similar to for Shviyat, for Shemitah. The Tanna also mentions the rules for Shemitah. Today's Shir is mostly going to be about the Shemitah aspect of the Mishnah. But the Mishnah primarily is concerned with the Chol Hamoed rules. What principles did we derive from this Mishnah that kind of our Mishnah, not everyone's going to agree with this, but the kind of our Mishnah holds as follows. We are not concerned, the Chachamim were not concerned about someone's loss of a profit in order to relax the rules of doing malacha on Chol Hamoed. I'm not going to relax the rules of malacha on Chol Hamoed just out of concern for someone's loss of profit. That's rule number one. Rule number two is that we are concerned, the Chachamim are concerned and will relax the rules of Chol Hamoed out of concern for a loss of principle. But rule number three says that when do we relax the rules for Chol Hamoed out of a concern for a loss of principle is when there is no tirchiyus there. There is no overly bothersome malacha that's involved. If it's overly bothersome, it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of toil, then we're not going to, under that circumstance, we're not going to relax the rule of the prohibition of the malacha and Chol Hamoed. So those are the three rules that we learned for our Mishnah. And so therefore, if, for example, in a playing field where there's plenty of rainfall, so if you water the garden, if you water your field, it will make the produce grow better, stronger, and so that enhances your profit margin, and so that's not permitted on Chol Hamoed, whether or not it's an old stream, it's a new stream, it makes no difference, it's all for profit, it's forbidden. On a mountain, on a new stream, it's permitted, and an old stream, it's permitted, a new stream, even though we might be concerned that the walls will collapse on this new canal, because it's never been used, never been tested, so it might collapse, and then he'll be tempted to repair it. Nevertheless, we say, you can use this stream, you can use this canal for the first time, on Chol Hamoed, on a mountain, out of concern that if you don't water your fields on the mountain, you're going to have a loss of print. But, we said, the third rule is demonstrated by our Mishnah, that you can only use an Amas HaMayim, a spring, to water the mountain field. But you cannot use a cistern to make shaman that's collected, because then you would have to actually manually water the field. That's Tirchi Yisera. You may not engage in that activity. But the Gemara then continues on that why does our Mishnah tell us that a field that's new or a canal that's new or a canal that's old, in both cases, you can water the field on the mound. Mark explains that the reason is to tell us that implicitly on a plane, in either instance, can you do such an activity, because we're not concerned with the loss of profit. And so even though here there is no concern in an old canal that the walls may collapse, but we're not going to relax. The walls of the canal might collapse and it might be attempted, even on a plane where it's an old one, where you don't have that concern, it's still forbidden because we're not going to relax the rules of Chol HaMoed to allow you to do malacha where there's only a loss of profit. Then the Gemara wants to know what this word mean of beis hashlachim. So we say that there's a pasuk, yival bachar b'tula, just as it's a fitting marriage when a young man marries a young woman rather than an old man marrying a young woman. So the word yival has the word yival, which is beis habal. So we have the plain habal is the translation is the replace of. Okay, so it means that it's satisfied. So that's why a field that's in the plane, we call it a sehabal, because it means replace of, it's satisfied. Conversely, we call a field that's on the mountain, we call it beis hashlachin, a thirsty field, because we find that there's a pasuk ayis v'yageya, that on the pasuk where it says thirsty and tired, so we say the targamino mishali, and mishali dehei and neches and mishalti, so we have a pasuk, a targum on a pasuk that gives us that shlachin would mean thirsty. Then the Gemara wants to know who is the Tana of our Mishnah, and the Gemara gives a whole bunch of possibilities and ultimately says we don't have actually an absolute a Tana who absolutely holds like our Mishnah in every single manner, but the one who comes closest is Rabbi Huda, and all the others in the Brisa are inconsistent. Rabbi Meir and Lezer ben Atai are inconsistent with our Mishnah, because they would in some aspects argue with the Tana of our Mishnah as they say in their statements of the halacha. The only one who doesn't argue is Rabbi Huda, and he comes the closest to our Mishnah. He comes even closer than we had at the beginning, where Rabbi Lezer ben, we thought at the beginning, at the very beginning, before we brought this price, we thought it was Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. We said that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov only has explicitly only one thing that he agrees with the Tana of our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir agrees with the Tana of our Mishnah in two things, and as we said, the Tana of our Mishnah has three principles. So we haven't yet identified that Tana who says all three principles, but since Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says two of those three principles, presumably he is the Tana of our Mishnah. So then we continued on, and we said, pretty much the Gemara goes into a long question of how could the Tana of our Mishnah say that on Shemitah you can water a field? How can you water a field on Shemitah? It would seem that watering a field on Shemitah is a deraisa. It's forbidden by the Torah law. If it's forbidden by the Torah law, you can't come and then say that because there's a loss of principle, we're going to allow it. We don't say that for a loss of principle, you can eat kazer. We're not going to fill them in the morning. That's something, that a prohibition that you can relax when it's a derabbanan. If it's a deraisa, you can't come and say that there's a loss of principle, and so it's going to be permitted on Chol HaMoed if it's there. And so the Gemara, on Shemitah, Torah says it's on Shemitah, you can't say it's lost the principle, we're going to allow it to do it. How does the Mishnah tell us that just like you can water a mountain field on Chol HaMoed, you can water it on Shemitah?
Shemitah, what you're forbidden is to do what exactly?
The Torah says that you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to plant,
yeah.
You're not allowed to harvest.
Yeah.
For your own purposes.
Yeah.
You can harvest, you can take off small amounts. You can't harvest the whole field and take it and put it in your house. It has to be like ownerless.
Harvest?
You can't plant, you can't harvest, you can't prune.
But that means it's not water.
One second. So now the Gemara says, but it's pretty clear that water is a tolda. For Shabbos, Shemitah is a type of a Shabbos. the Shabbos of allowing the field to rest, right? It's called Shabbos offering. The Torah calls it Shabbos offering. And we learn now the Malachis from Shabbos, on Shabbos, we say that you're not allowed to plant, and you're not allowed to harvest on Shabbos. You're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to harvest, you're not allowed to plow.
That's okay, you're not allowed to water?
One second. So the Av Malacha is, the Av Malacha is, we learned yesterday, the Av Malacha is you're not allowed to either plow. From one of those two, we have a machlekes, but either from one or from two, we learn out that you're not allowed to water a field on Shabbos. Not allowed to water the field on Shabbos because either it softens the ground and it's similar to plowing, and so you're over on the iser of plowing, or it causes the produce to grow, just like planting causes the, if you don't put seeds in the ground, nothing's going to grow. So too, if you don't water it, nothing's going to grow. So watering is a type of causing growth, and so it's the iser of tree of anyone who waters water or waters a garden on Shabbos, it's Chayav Mishum Zriya and
on Midrabana.
Midrayisa. Tulda Midrayisa.
The Torah
doesn't say any of the malachas except Havar, except making a fire. But we learn now from the Mishkan what was Chashav in the Mishkan, those are the Av malachas and they're Tulda, they're all Chayav Midrayisa. But again, we said that in order to make someone Chayav Stila on Shabbos, you have to give him the Atzeres, give him the warning that goes for the actual Av Malach. You can't just say, oh, this is forbidden on Shabbos. You have to say it's forbidden because of Zriya. It's forbidden because of Harisha. It's forbidden because... In any event, what do we see? We see that watering the field, according to one, is Chayav because of Zriya, and watering the field, according to the other, is Chayav on Shabbos because of Harisha. And according to Abaya, we said he holds it both because we find an opinion that says that when you do one malacha, you cut off a branch and put it to strengthen the tree, and also so that you can have wood for cooking, you're Chayav two things. You're Chayav because of Kaiser, and you're Chayav because of Zeleya. You're Chayav two. So here, in fact, what are you doing when you water a garden? You're softening the ground, and you're causing the fruit to grow. So you're doing both the Chayav. So I guess it's the Chayav. In any event, what we see here is three Amoraim who say that Zriya is an Isser, Zeraisa on Shabbos, because it's a Tulsa of either Zeleya, or Chadisha, or both.
Now, Zriya?
Either Zriya, or
Chadisha. What is the Tulsa?
Watering the garden is a Tulsa of either Zriya, or Chadisha, or both. Okay. So now, for Shmita, we have the same thing. There's an Isser of Chadisha, there's an Isser of Zriya, and so watering is a Tulsa, just like it is for Shabbos. That's our assumption. That is the Gemara. The answer to that we left off yesterday is that we're still doing yesterday. We can give one answer yesterday, and today we're going to give a second answer. So the answer that we gave yesterday was that that she is Tzman Hazeh. That Shmitan today is Midrabon, according to Rebbe. That this Mishnah, our Mishnah, that says that you can water a field on Shmita that's on a mountain because of the loss of principle. Why can you nowadays do that on Shmita? Because the Tana of our Mishnah is either Rebbe. Or someone who holds like Rabbi that Shmita Bisman Hazeh, Shmita Karkois Bisman Hazeh is Midrabanan. And since it's only Midrabanan, so like we always said, the Chachamim are in control of whatever they want. If they're making the prohibition, Behem Amr Behem Amr, they can say however they want. They can set up the prohibition that they want. They want to say it's sort of lost principle. We're not going to create such a rule. We're going to relax the rule. whichever way you want to put it, the rule simply doesn't apply. And so since, according to Rebbe, there is no Shemitah of Parka today, just like there is no Shemitah of Mumming today, so therefore we can say that on a mountain where there's going to be a loss of principle, during Shemitah you can water the field as only as a derabba. That was the answer that we left off with yesterday. So unlike Shabbat, where even today it's Deiraisa, somebody waters his garden today, he is Chayav Issur Deiraisa. Shemitah today is Derabbanan, and the Mishnah is talking about only today, in our time, that you can water the field on the mountain. When Mashiach comes and everyone will be in Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah will be Deiraisa, you will not be permitted to water your field on the mountain on Shemitah, during Shemitah. Okay? So that was the one answer we have. Now we're going to go move on to a second answer. That's where we left off today. Rava Amar, Rava says, the second to the last line of Beis HaMikdash. Rava Amar, Rava says, Afilu Deimer Rabbanan. Even if you want to say that the Mishnah accords with the Chachamim, we'd rather not, we have a Stam Mishnah, where a Mishnah doesn't have a named Tana, we prefer to say that it's the Chachamim, that it accords with everyone. Generally, that's what we want to say. It's an anonymous mission. So an anonymous mission, presumably, is according to everyone. But we're not saying it's according to Divrei Rebbe Meir. We're not saying it's Divrei Rebbe. We're just saying it's a Stam Mishnah. So we would prefer to say that it's a Stam Mishnah. So the Gemara from now said it's according to Rebbe. Now Rava says perhaps we can say it according with the Chachamim and not with Rebbe. What does the Chachamim say? Oh, you thought that Achmona, that the Torah, when it comes to Shemitah, the Torah only forbade the Avlach. Didn't make an Isser of the Tzolta. Now remember, Shabbos we said, everything is also Deraisa. When we say that watering is not one of the 39 Malachas, if somebody waters his garden on Shabbos, and two witnesses come and say, sir, let me tell you something, don't water your garden on Shabbos, because, according to Rava, because it's Chodesh. Let me tell you, this is the Avalach of Chodesh. You're watering the garden, you're softening the ground, it's Chodesh, and he continues to do it. In the final Beis HaMikdash, he would get Skila.
And you're going to get Skila
for it. He gets Skila. Or, according to Rabbi Yosef, they come to tell him, sir, you're watering your garden, you're going to be chayav, because let me tell you, this is causing the plants to grow, and that's zereya, and this is the avalacha, this is the pull of the avalacha zereya, and you're going to get skila, and if he continues to do it,
if he stops at that point in time.
If he stops immediately, then he doesn't get skila, because he has to do it within moments, he has to still be doing it. But he has to do it despite the warning, and after even a few seconds, he says, you know what? I was losing my mind. I wasn't thinking about it, so I forgot about what he was telling me. So it has to be within a breath
so
of
a format of any kind. Or?
No. If he taka forgot, so then he has to bring a carbon chasa. Yes. But he's not chayev a skila. He's not going to get me.
Why do you see him doing that? Are we obligated to give matzah, etc.? Well, let's say they are. Say, I don't want to get involved. Whatever.
Right now, we're not going to get into the best of the Gemara in the head. Right? We're here talking about the Gemara in the
head. But the bottom line is, those 80 have to do much chiller.
Okay. Yes, but let me just tell you, here's what happened.
Yeah.
A guy comes to apprentice by a tailor. Become a tailor. He comes and says, I want to become a tailor. Sure, sit down. He says, okay, we're going to take out the sewing machine. Sewing machine. What brand is that? Singer. What's the difference from a Singer to a... You got it? The needle. What's the difference from this needle to that? You never learn from the tail. Rabbi Omar.
Well, you're giving for 12 and you'll be fine.
So till now we had answered that Shemitah is Derabbanan, because it's of course a Rebbe who says that Manasseh, Shemitah is Derabbanan. Now we're going to say that everyone that is this accords with the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say that, by the way, the only that even though Shemitah is Asar Minatera, but what Malachas are Asar at any time, always, what did the Torah say is Asr? Not the Tolda. For Shabbat, Av and Tolda is Minatera. For Shnitza purposes, Av is Asr Minatera, Tolda is Asr Minatera.
That's the Chachamim.
So says Rava would hold the Chachamim. This Rava says what the Chachamim would say.
Right.
So Rabba Amar, Afilu Temer Rabbanu. We could say that the Mitan of our Mishnah says Amin. All these Asar Rechmana, the Av Malacha for Shnita is Asar Tolda Tolda Asar Rechmana. The Torah didn't Asar. Only the Chachamim Asar. And Tera Pasik. Olashana Hashviyas on the seventh year. Shabbat Shabbat and Yiyah La'adet. It shall be a Shabbat rest for the land. Sotkalai Sizra. You shall not plant your field, and you shall not prune your vineyard. So now the Gemara says, next. Mira, the clouds Zriya. We had already a pasuk. Now the Gemara didn't say here the pasuk, but we had already a pasuk, an earlier pasuk, that says, you shall not prune your trees. I was saying, you shall not sow the land. And what did we say that Zmira is? Yesterday we already learned that Zmira is a type of Zriya, that pruning the trees causes the remaining fruit to grow stronger, for the remaining parts of the tree to be stronger, to grow better. So Zriya, planting, causes growth. Pruning causes growth.
And pruning is a told of Zriya.
On Shabbos. But now the Torah said both, the Av and the Tolda. Yeah?
Exactly.
So we have here an odd thing that the Torah is now naming both an Av and a Tolda, apparently unnecessarily. Next is Mira B'Klal Zriya, U'B'Tzira B'Klal Ketzira. We said that you're not allowed to cut off your vines from the vineyard, because that's harvest. Yes. You know, to harvest yourself. You know, to go into the
Ashnita
and
harvest.
The Torah is saying explicitly, don't go into the field and cut up all the clusters of grapes and take it home with you. You can take what you need to eat, just like any other poor person who can take its after. You can't say, everyone stay away, I'm taking all the grapes, I'm harvesting it all. So why does the Torah have to tell us here, this special topic, that Karmichali Sifzer, that you're not allowed to cut off the clusters of grapes and harvest them all for yourself, when the Torah already said earlier that you're not allowed to harvest the fields on Shmita? So why do I need both? So I have a pasuk that tells me you're not allowed to plant and you're not allowed to harvest. Now I have a second pasuk that says, well, let me tell you more detail, you're not allowed to prune your vineyard, and you're not allowed to prune your trees, and you're not allowed to harvest the vine.
To include in the prohibition the tool.
It's already included. It's already included, so why did I need it?
Since
on Shabbat it's already included, right. So I would have thought that on Shabbat it's also included. So Lamai Hilchitzaka Sinei Rachmana. So for what purpose, to what end did the Torah write this second pasuk? It was already included in the first pasuk. Just like for Shabbat, the tolls are included in the Avos, so also for Shmita, the tolls should be included in the Avos. So why did I need this in the Torah? The Gemara says, the Neimra, to tell us, the Hani told this Mechayit, Achri Nifa Loi Mechayit, that unlike Shabbat, where tolls are included in the Avos, in this case, tolls are not included in the Avos, with two exceptions. The two exceptions are that you're not allowed to prune the trees because it's similar to Seiya, and you're not allowed to harvest the grapes because it's like harvesting the wheat.
All the others are?
Everything else is permitted. Everything else is permitted. If the Torah had to tell me that these two told us are usher, that means that all the other told us are mutar. So therefore, unlike Shabbat, that says Rava, the Chachamim would hold that unlike Shabbat, we are Shabbat, the Tolas are included in the other. For Shmita, Tolas are not included in the other.
Yes,
there's only two Tolas that you're Chayim the Deraisa on Shmita, and that is pruning and harvesting the grapes. It causes So the Gemara asks, how could you possibly say, Rava, that the Chachamim would hold that the Toldeis, all Toldeis of Shmita are Mutzim and Aser and Holy Aser and Rabbanon, when we have a Beraisa that pretty clearly tells us that there's a whole slew, we're just going to go now into a tangent, of a whole slew of stuff that appears to be Aser and Aser on Shmita, and they're all Toldeis. Every last one of them is a Tolda, and the Gemara, and the Beraisa says it's Aser, and it seems to be Minatera, and you, Rav, are saying that the only two Toldeis that are Aser, Minatera, is pruning a tree and cutting the clusters of grapes as a tolda of cutting the wheat.
Before we get to that, can you give us the answer so we connect the thread?
The answer that the Gemara is going to say is, while the Braisa may appear to say that all these folks are deraisa, they only mean it midrabbanan.
Okay. So we have no question on Rava.
Then the Gemara is going to ask no question.
Right.
But let's get to Tanya. So the Gemara asks, how could you possibly say all these things are midrabbanan? The souls are midrabbanan. Let's look at this right. You should not harvest your field, the karmachalechizmar, and you shouldn't cut the clusters of grapes. How do I know?
They're also
Aser. Huh? That all these things are Aser. So let's talk about. So Zimmer Menayim Nichosh Leider Olekisuach. So Nichosh, we said yesterday, is pulling out the weeds.
You know, pull out
the weeds on Shmita. The either is that, so Rashi says, Shechayfer Tachet Hakfanim Refuya Ara, that you dig out under the vines, the base of the vines, to soften up the earth and help it grow. Uli Kisuach, that you're not allowed to do Kisuach. What's Kisuach? Basavim Shechayfer Haroyim Min HaTayvim, you pull out the bad grass or the bad weeds from among the good things, or from the, let's say, the grains of wheat. It's not the same thing as nichosh. We just said weeding.
They say, hey, you cut
here. Nichosh is where you pull it out. Here you're just cutting it off.
Right.
Just cutting down to
right.
The root. The ma'achar yikarim in a karka, this is you pull it out from the ground, well then, here you just cut it off from the top, so it's down, so it doesn't pull that much nourishment out of the ground. How do I know that all these things are forbidden? So now we're going to give a pasuk. Talmud loymer, sadcha loy karmachal loy. Sadcha loy karmachal loy. Now again, remember yesterday, we said that generally in a pasuk, the Torah's syntax is to give the verb before the object that it's set to what the object for which the verb is occurring. So normally you would say loy tisra karmacha. But that's here backwards to tell us that you start to read that you read this, and then that there's another way to read this pasuk that would be the unusual. It's an unusual syntax to tell us that there's another thing that you should be reading into. So instead of saying sadchaloy tizra, you stop after sadchaloy. With your field, don't. You want it? You want to know what? If you're allowed to, come ask me. Am I allowed to? No. That's it. Sadchaloy. You want that? No. The answer is no. Sotcha? Loi. The answer is no. Karmacha? Loi. You want to know what you're allowed to do on Shmita in your keder? Loi. You're not allowed to. So, loi kol malacha sheba sotcha, loi kol malacha sheba karmacha. Whatever you're going to ask me about malacha, it's loi. The answer is no. One general no. Loi kol malacha sheba.
What's the difference between the two expressions? Loti zotcha, sotcha? Sotcha loti zotcha.
No. Sotcha loi. Sizra means don't land your field. Sadchaloy means don't do anything in your field.
Don't you have a sadchaloy?
If the Torah had, if the Torah had intended just to say, don't plant the field, then it would have said the usual syntax of loy, sisra, sakha. Wouldn't say sakha, loy, sisra. Since the Torah inverted the usual syntax, it must be to teach us something. And so we say, like we said yesterday, it's to dash. Rabbi Kiva said, you figure something out over here to see what else could, how else could we possibly read it. So we could say, sakha, loy, karmacha, loy. Sakha, loy, karmacha, loy. Even though you can't read the pasuk that way, but it's a drush. Stop after loy and say, sakha, loy, karmacha, loy, and I'll do anything.
And
so now it would seem, so now it would seem that everything is deraisa. All the laches, all toldes, are utter deraisa. And we just said, Rava said, that there are only two toldes that are utter deraisa on Shnita, unlike Shabbos, where all toldes are deraisa. Here we have a deraisa that seems to have a pasuk telling us it's all deraisa. So how could Rava say it's not deraisa?
Oh, we have a question. Only two, and the rest are deraisa, or what about? What
Rava said that the only two deraisa, everything else is deraisa. He didn't say explicitly, but implicitly, it's all the rest is midraisa.
That would be a little bit that it says there won't be a right.
And that's why the Mishnah says that on a mountain, you're allowed to water on Shmita, you're allowed to water the field, but on a plain, implicit within that, and on a plain, you're not allowed. Why are you not allowed to? Because implicit within Rava's explanation is that the Tana holds that Midrabanan, watering the field on a plain, would be Asher Midrabanan on Shmita. So watering would be Asher, and the only reason why you're allowed to do it on a mountain is because of the loss of principle, so the Chachamim relax the rule. Okay, got it? Everything hunky-dory so far? I'll do any malacha in your field, you know, any malacha with your vineyard. And I can change the karsim in. How do you know that you're not allowed to do, now the Mishnah is going to continue on, the same thing, same drush. How do you know you're not allowed to do the karsim in? What's the karsim in? How do you know zimun? This is the same thing as zimun. I'll shakir some, shaykh the alumnus. Here this is talking about with a tree. Okay? The A Mizardin, and you're not allowed to do Mizardin. What's Mizardin? The Chatechanovim Yedeshim Babachim. That's cutting off the branches that are dry and moist. With each year's the Ilan Anovim Yedeshim Midbach. So what did we say before? Makarsamin is when you take a tree and you cut off the dry branches. You have dry branches, they're not serving any purpose, and it's just destroying the tree. So you prune the tree in order to cause the tree to grow. That's similar to weeding. They say if we're weeding in a field and a tree, you weed the dry branches off. This is slightly different. Here, it's not only cutting off the dry branches, you even cutting off viable branches. The reason you're cutting off the viable branches is because you have too many branches and the sap is not sufficient in the tree to feed all of these branches and all of these fruit, and it's going to cause you to have small fruits or weak branches, a weak diseased tree. So therefore, you cut off even healthy among the sick. So that's what you're saying, Yavashim Vilachim. You say, no, not from years of the diet. It has too many branches and causes the tree to become weak and the fruits to become small and not sweet. The aim of Paskin, and you're not allowed to be Paskin. What's Paskin? So, Sengchin Ilam Shuranam Yavashim Yavashim. You want to take something, you have a tree that's a young sapling. And if you look on Kingston, or when they plant new trees, they put on the side, they put two poles, and they tie the tree to it so that it holds up well. So that's, you know, what to do on Chalim. On Shmita. Aim of Haskin Bihila. Talmud, how do you know you're not allowed to do any of these things? Because it says, Sad Chaloi, Karma Chaloi, the same thing. Sad Chaloi, Karma Chaloi. Loi Kal Malach Shabtacha, Loi Kal Malach Shabtacha. The nine chain is not. Now again. How do you know that you're not allowed to fertilize the field on Shmita? Because it says, Chaloi, we're going to say. The A, Mefarkin, how do you know that you're not allowed to be Mefarik? Mefarkin means to take off the stones that are sitting on, you see these heavy boulders, and they've lodged themselves on top of a root of a tree. It's going to cause the tree, to the root to crush and not be able to absorb any nutrients from the ground, and so the tree is going to wither and die. To say, you know, take off these heavy stones from the roots of the tree. Hey, Ma'ashman, how do you know that you're not allowed to smoke the tree? That means that if you find that the tree is infested with worms, you set a fire under a smoke fire under the tree, and it causes the worms to dislodge. Talmud Leimar, Sakha Loi, Kaimacha Loi, Loikal Malach, Shem Sakha, Loikal Malach, Shem Kaimacha. So now the Gemara is going to say the opposite. Now, I would have thought that these also, now the next list is, I would have thought that these two are also included in the list that you're not allowed to do on Shemitah. So I'm going to tell you, these things that you think that you're not allowed to do on Shemitah, you actually are allowed to do on Shemitah. I would have thought that you're not, from this same ruling of Satcha Loi, Karmacha Loi, I would have thought that you're also not allowed to do the following, but in fact you are. Loi Yachal, I would have thought that you're not allowed to be in a kashkish. What is it? Kashkish? So Rashi says, Hainu either, Elish either, because finally the kishkish is a thing. Either is that you dig under the tree to make it soft. It's like a type of harisha, a type of flower under the tree.
For another
just
tree.
To soften. Huh?
For another tree? Yeah, no, it's not a thing.
This is for Gethin. For kishkosh that we're talking about now is for zeta, for an olive tree. And before we're talking about eder, the term eder is just the same thing, but it's used for a vine. Don't do it under a olive tree. And you shouldn't dig under the gefen to soften the ground. I would have thought that all these things you're not allowed to do, but in fact you are. But lo yamala lekayim mayim, that if there are cavities in the ground, that you're not allowed to fill them with water. So we thought you are allowed to fill them with water. Lo yaseh ugiyeh lekfanim. I would have thought that you're not allowed to, as we said yesterday in the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to dig a circle around the vine. So that when there's water, it'll collect. When there's rain, it'll collect in that little canal, that little trench. You're not allowed to. So the Bryce is not going to say Talmud Leimar. It says in the pasuk Sadchalay Tizra that you're not allowed to plant the field on Shemitah. Zriya b'chalal harisa. The beginning of the pasuk tells us you're not allowed to do Shabbos Shabbosim, and you shouldn't work the field on Shemitah. It's Shabbos. It's a Shabbos. So if I just said that pasuk, don't work the field on Shabbos on Shemitah, what would I say? And I would do Angelah, right? So why does the pasuk then continue on to say that you're not allowed to plant the field? So why did the prophet now make go out of its way to tell us that you're not allowed to plant the field on Shemitah when the prophet had already told us you're not allowed to work the field at all? So to be makish, to compare to it, so that you have to compare everything to Zriya. To tell you, that just like Zriya is a type of avodah that applies both to a field of wheat and to the karen and to a vineyard. Of course, the avodah should be sadeh to the karen. So too, only those malachim that would apply both to that are necessary for both a vineyard and a wheat field are the types of malachim that are usher on shemitah, but no other malachim. So let's just to say this outside, very simply. Digging under a tree is beneficial to the tree. Under an olive tree, you dig under it, beneficial. Digging the trench around the tree is beneficial because the water comes in and it collects there and there's always water.
Doing that for wheat is not beneficial. If you dig under a wheat, a stalk of wheat, you know what's going to happen? Falls down. You dig a trench around the stalk of wheat, isn't going to help anything. That's not what you do. That's not a malacha of the. So the Torah is coming to tell you as follows. The Torah said a general puzzle. Go work your field on shmita, let it lay fallow. Okay. Now the Torah tells you, okay, so let me tell you, don't plant it and don't harvest. Don't plant your wheat and don't harvest your vineyard. Why is it saying these two? You already know you shouldn't do anything. Obviously, if you let it lay fallow, means you're not harvesting, you're not planting. So why do they say these two? Tell us that the only thing that's utter on Shmita are things that apply both to a saga of wheat and to a vineyard. The earlier list that we did, that we had, applied to everything, to both to vineyards and to wheat fields. The last list that we said that you're allowed to applies only to a vineyard and not to a wheat field. That's what Rashi says. And before you stop, before you catch me and say, one second, I got stuff here that's on the original list that doesn't apply to a wheat field, the Rishonim ask questions on Rashi and say, Rashi, it's very difficult because if you look through the list of the earlier things, there seems to be things that would apply only to trees but not to wheat field,
okay,
or to grain field. Says others more simply as follows. That what the Gemara here means to say is something completely different. The Gemara here means to say that only those things that you do once a year are dvarim shel miyuchadim. They've translated as follows: that if you look back into the Gemara, it says, "Leimar lecha matzria miyuchedes avodah shel tzedek." That just like planting is a Yuchedis means like almost a unique type of a avodah in a soda and in a kerem. So Rashi says that Yuchedis means that it both applies both to a soda and a kerem. The other Rishonim say no. What it means is that it's the unique malacha that you do in a soda and a unique malacha that you do in a kerem, not necessarily that they have to apply to both. Meaning that something that you're only going to do once a year, that's a chash of a type of a malacha. And that's what the Torah said you're not allowed to do. Ordinary little mundane routine type of workaday malacha, that's not what the Torah said you're not allowed to do on Shemitah. Shemitah, you're not allowed to do the things that you're only allowed to do once a year. That you can only do once a year. You harvest your grapes once a year. You harvest your field, your wheat once a year. You dig under the you dig under the tree once a year, but you dig around the tree. So there are certain things that you have to constantly keep on doing. So those things that you have to constantly keep on doing, those are things that the Torah didn't say was us. That's how they understand this. In any event, what we have is, the upshot of all of this is, that it would appear that the tulis are also in the deraisa. Right? But he said, Tachaloi, Karmachaloi, we have a pasuk telling us that just like the Av Malacha is Asar on Shmita, so is the Tolda Asar on Shmita. So I had a brother say that there are only two Toldas that are Asar Minatar. So the Gemara answered that Midr Abonim, that all of this is Midr Abonim. I had a pasuk, he said, Tachaloi, a whole drosh, he said, Tachaloi, that he had heard of the pasuk, it should have said, Tachaloi, Tizra Kalayim, and then it said, Tachaloi, Tizra, the pasuk is inverted. That's all
on
the Shmita. That's just the Torah. That's just the Chachamim hanging their Issa Derabbanan on words of the Torah, but it doesn't really mean that comes from the Pasuk. It's just the drashes for which they're hanging it onto the Torah.
So that's a response to Rava.
So Rava says that, in fact, there are only two Issa told us that are also in the Derabbanan, but watering is not one of them. The Pasuk only identifies Yes. Okay. So we have water is not one of them. So therefore, the time of our Mishnah said the time could be the Chachamim, and they say that you're allowed to water on a field on a mountain because it's only a Shderabana, and the Lakav has said they weren't there. So now the Gemara continues. One second. You rather want to say that all of this is Durabana. Hold on. One of the things, oh, I'm sorry. We're not going to ask this. We're asking a different question. We said in the Bereis, at the end of the Bereis, that we said that there's a list of things that we would have thought are utter, but are in fact mutter, right? We said that you would have thought that kishkush, tachas, azayis, that digging under a olive tree is aser, so the Raisa tells us that it's mutter. Now, that's all fine and good when we said that it was Isidari Raisa, and now we're going to see that the kishkush is aser, so we would say, oh, aser midirabana. But here we just said that everything is aser midirabana, so if you said that in the last occasion that kishkush is mutter, that means that it's not just not aser midirabana, it's not even aser midirabana, because all the others were all aser midirabana, and this we said is mutter, so now we come to the conclusion that kishkush must be mutter even to begin with. Not just midirabana, you're allowed to do kishkush on Shmita. So now the Gemara asks, the kishkush that you, according to your Rabba, kishkush for Shviyas, so kishkush on Shviyas would be mutter. Mishari, how can you say that it's mutter? But Siv, it says in the Pasuk, Vashviyas Tishvetena. There's a Pasuk that says, on Shviyas, you should leave go of the land. With a Tashtim, you should let it go. You should completely forsake Tishmetena, and we learned that Tishmetena, what does it mean that you should leave go of the land? Melikashke is from digging under the olive tree. Now,
why do we infer that it's Melikashke?
That's not us. That's just saying this is what we have. We have an earlier Gemara that tells us that when the Pasuk said Tishmetena v'netash, that means Tishmetena v'lekash. Now, I could have thought that this was just a cross mount, and it's also Durabana, but according to Rava, it has to be completely mutter. So, this drasha here, at the very least, means that it's also Durabana. Rava said it's mutter altogether. V'netash, when it says, to forsake the land, the lesak, new lesak, it means from taking off stones out of the field. To take out stones out of the vineyard. Okay. We had a whole slew of things that we said. I would have thought that this is mutter, so the pasta comes and tells us, you know, I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, because the fat talks about the car. Then we say, oh, now that we've established the principle.
We thought that was near right at that point, right?
At that point, we thought it was near right. So we concluded it was rather than near up on. Yes? But then there was a list of things at the very end of that right. So that we said, I would have thought that just like all those things are us, these two are also us, yeah. Sir. And we said, no, these aren't us. So what did we come to the conclusion? That kishkush, kishkush, tachatazin, is mutter. Right? Now, if at the point when I thought that all the original things were usher and atera, yeah. So when we said that it's mutter lekashkish tachatazim, that means mutter and atera, and usher is darabana, right? You could come to such a conclusion. If right. Forced to, you could say such thing. But Rava said, no, the things that we said were usher are only usher and darabana. So if all those things are only usher and darabana, and we said that it's mutter lekashkish tachatazim, you can't now say that means that you're not allowed to do kishkush tachatazim in the darabana, because the earlier ones were usher, and that was only in the darabana. So we said mutter means mutter altogether, right? So now how could we possibly say that kishkush tachatazim is mutter altogether when we have Raisa, that seems to be an early Gemara that says that when it says Venatashta, that it's Tishmatana Venatashta, that Tishmatana Venakashkesh, so you're not allowed to do. So what before I had Rava's answer, I could have said B'doichik that when the Raisa said this is Mutter Abana, and the Raisa when it said Mutter meant that it's Mutter Minatara, but also Mutter Abana, and so we reconcile it. One, that it's all Mutter Abana and it's us. Yes? But now that Rava said in the Braisa, that Rava said that the Braisa, the earlier Braisa means that it's mutter altogether, How could, so then what is this b'raisa? I mean, that it's usher. Usher what? It's not usher up there and not usher there above him. So what is it usher from? Mimic? So Amar Rav Utva Bar Chama, says, train kishkusha hava. There are two types of digging. Chada b'ruya b'mana. One is to, so really what we're going to, the upside of this answer is that Rav Utva Bar Chama is going to say that both are, that this is all the Darabonim. It's not there. Even this Pasuk is not talking there. Right? And that one says, what's there? This, when there's a time when it's Muslim in Darabonim, there's a time when it's Asr in Darabonim.
Right.
So the earlier Bryce is talking about a case where it's Muslim in Darabonim, and the latter Bryce is talking about a case where it's Asr in Darabonim. There's two types of Kishkush. How that really is on it. One is to strengthen the tree, and to strengthen the tree, just to make something stronger, is a profit. A profitable endeavor, and so the failure to do it is a loss of profit. That's all we're going to leave it as us in the Rabban. The Chas is still Nepili, and one is to cover over cracks on the roots of the tree. This crack, and you want to soften the ground and cover it over. And that is going to cause a loss of principle, and there we say that's what I've really been long author. So Nepili, to dig under, to cover over the roots that are cracked, that are going to get diseased and dried out and infected, that is mutter. Sorry. Itmer, now we're going to go off onto a tense. Itmer, we learn Sacherish Vashiach. And we're going to end up, now this is the second half of the Amid, as I said earlier, I promise you the second half is going to go easier because we're basically going to be repeating. Itmer, we learn Sacherish Vashiach. Somebody who plows on Shvi'ah. Rabbi Yechonon and Reb Lezer, a lake of Kadam, and Eimim. One says, Rabbi Yechonon and Reb Lezer, we don't know who, but one of them said that you get malchus for plowing a field on Shmita. And one says you don't get malchus for plowing a field on Shmita. Later, the Kibbutz and Rabbi Yechonon and let us say that perhaps the basis of the machlokes between Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Lazar about whether or not we get malchus for plowing the field on Shmita is based, it's sourced in the opinion of Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Avin in the name of Rabbi Loi. The Amar of Avin, Amar of Loi, Rabbi Avin said in the name of Rabbi Loi, Kol Makom Shelem Klal Be'Eser Chas Beloi Eser Ein God Meiser Bechlal Chas Beklal. We have, yesterday you asked me about the Yud Gimel Midrash Shatenu direction. One of the rules is as follows. If you have a general pasuk, pasuk says, refrain from work. Then you have another pasuk that says, refrain from making a fire. So you have now a general pasuk and a particular pasuk. So the rule is, when you have a klal or prat, so, that the only thing that's observed is the prat. That's it. The person, don't do anything, which means don't make a fire, means don't make a fire. That's all it means. When you have a cloud of prat and cloud, so you have a general rule, and then a particular rule, and then a general rule again, but then it's not that it's only the prat, then it's everything that's similar to the prat. When you have a cloud of prat, it's the just the prat. It's the only thing that's
the exception is just the prat.
The rule applies only to the explicit rule. So you say, don't turn on the lights on Monday. Don't turn on that light on Monday. What light are you not allowed to turn on Monday?
That
light. And that's every other light you're allowed to turn on.
The cloud is reduced to
the cloud is reduced to the prat. When you have a cloud or prat, and then again followed by a cloud, and then says, like I said, don't turn on any of the lights. So don't turn on the light. Don't turn on that light. Don't turn on any of the lights.
Don't turn on the light. Don't turn on this light.
Don't turn on it. And then again, don't turn on any of the lights.
Don't
turn on the light. Don't turn on the light. So we have cloud, prat, cloud. In such a case, we say that anything that's similar to the prat, anything that's similar to the prat, is going to be included. So it's not completely general, but it has to be similar to the prat.
In the second cloud, it's included, or first cloud? Cloud.
The cloud, anything that's similar to the prat, is going to be included. But Rabbi Ovin says that doesn't apply where the general rule was an essa. The prat was a vaisasa, and then the klal is again either asa or vaisasa. It has to all either be asa, 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 vaisasa, vaisasa, vaisasa. But if it's asa, vaisasa, then we just do, then it's just a klal of prat. And the only the prat is asa. That's it. So now we're going to get to it. They're above it. Amr Avalez, Manda Amr Avalez, Manda Amr like Shafir. So the one who holds that you get Malkis, the one who says, either Rabbi Yechon or Rabbi Lezer, who says that you get Malkis, Leslie, they're above in Amr Avalez. He doesn't hold by Rabbi Lezer, but above in Amr Avalez. Manda Amr, any like is Lezer above in. So let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Kol Makim, you have the Rashi, Kol Makim Shenamer Klal Be'etzer Prat B'Lei Tachik. You're going, for example, talk here it says, and now we're for our, let's not give an example, let's talk about our case. The Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, of Shon Ashkid, Shabbat Shabbat. On the seventh year, it should be a year of rest. Yilara, it should be a year of rest for the land. So what is the Torah telling us? On the seventh year, make it a year of rest. Is that an Esser or a Leis Asser?
Right.
No, that's an Esser. Don't think why. It's a Esser. Make it a year of rest.
It's an
Esser,
but it's like
it's a passive-aggressive Esser. It's telling us, let its life out. Don't work it. But the way it's worded is let it rest.
It's
an Esser. It's an Esser. Such a Leis is that. The comments are Leis is Mark. Don't plant the field and don't harvest the vineyard. It's a prat and it's a loisase. It doesn't say everything. Don't do any malacha. It says don't do these two things. I'm a loisase. And then afterwards, you have again a pasuk and then it's case the prat is called. I forgot the ksiv klal basrei. Next Rashi says even though here you have a klal of prat to klal, because afterwards now you have another klal. It says after this pasuk it says. Here we don't have the rule of klal prat klal. So the only thing that you have is when do I say klal prat klal is when it's all assays or all lois assays, when it's not all assays and not all lois assays, it's a mixture, then we say it's just a straightforward klal prat, and the only thing that usher is the prat. So now that we say that the only thing that usher is the prat, so what does Rava say? What's the only two things that are usher and shnitzel that are told us? He says and Karmichalaisinsmar. Those are the only two. Why? Because we had a general topic that said, "Don't work the field. Let the field remain fallow on Shias with a cloud. Don't do this and don't do that with a cloud." So it's a cloud of crap. And even though it's followed by a cloud afterwards, but since the first was an assay and the second was a lace assay, the only thing we're left with is the cloud of crap is the crap. So Rabbi says that all you have is the prat, and that's and now we have an explanation for what Rabbi just said. Yes? Okay. So now the Gemara continues on and says, and why Harisha, we also have here an explanation for why one would say that Harisha you get Malkus, and one would say that Harisha you don't get Malkus, because if you hold like a Tavin, so then you don't have a Klal, a Prat, a Klal. So Harisha is not one of the two tools. Harisha is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah, so since it's not mentioned explicitly in the Torah of the Malkus, they know who on Shkid, so it would be considered a tulva for Shia. And for Shabbat, it's considered an Havmalacha. But for Shias, it's considered a tulva. And tulva is the only two tulvas you chayev. So one would say that I hold like Rebavin, but you're not chayev, Malkus, but Harisha, because there's only two that are also in a Torah. That's planting the field or harvesting the grain.
He doesn't hold by the case of the.
He holds generally from Klal Prat to Klal, but he doesn't hold by Klal Prat to Klal, but one is an Afei and one is a Leisa.
So then
he'll be left with the Klal Prat.
But in other words,
only the
process, the thing that's not excluded, the only thing that's included.
The process was Harishim.
I'm sorry?
What was in the process?
The process is Hakala Sisra and Kamakala Sisra. But Harisha is not in those.
So
that's why the one would say that you don't get Malkus for Harisha. Okay?
Because it's not included.
But it's not included in Sisra or Sisra. But if you don't hold like Rav Avin and you hold that it's just, whether or not it's an Av or whether or not it's a Afei or a Leif Afei or a mixture, you still say Kol HaPrat Klal, so then you would have Kol Masha Ke'in HaPrat, which would include, just like these two are Tulvis and included, so then you include all Tulvis. So one would say that Harisha is a Tulva included from the Kol HaPrat Klal, and the other one would say there's no Kol HaPrat Klal, it's only Kol HaPrat. Okay, so we got now an explanation for Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lezer. Let's have an explanation for Rava earlier in the section. So, Manda Amar Leike, one is that you get Malchus doesn't hold for Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lezer because he holds all the Prats Kval and so he includes even Harisha. And the one who says that, no, says that you do get Malchus, he holds like Rabbi Lezer, and he says that it's only a fall of prophet and therefore you don't get help. Something more now says, look, perhaps you could say the Kula Alma Leslie there. Perhaps you could say that no one agrees with your prophet. That's Rav Yechon, that's Rav Lezer. Not necessarily does anyone have to agree with their prophet. And we could source their disagreement in another manner. Amr Abaloy, Manda Amr Leke Shafit. So the one who says that you like, so because it's a cloud of prophet cloud. You have a cloud of prophet cloud, and so you get Malkus. That's why he says that you get Malkus. The one of Rabbi Yechon or Blazer says that you don't get Malkus. Amar Lachil says, next, let's see. Zemira b'chal zriya or b'tina b'chalal k'tina. Zemira, like we said earlier, Zemira was included in Zriya because it's both Zriya planting and pruning caused the tree to grow.
Right.
Oh, the Zira, the Katsira, and cutting, harvesting the grapes is like harvesting wheat.
What do you mean include? Are they told of that?
If they're the same thing,
yeah.
It's a Tulda, right?
Yeah.
It was just a Tulda, yeah? If the Torah had intended to include all Tulvim,
yeah. Why
does the Torah now say these two?
Yeah.
The Torah could have said nothing. And just like Shabbos, all Tulvim are included in the Ovis. If the Torah had said nothing, it just said, don't do these Av Malachim, then no, Tulvim are included. So why does the Torah have to come and call and speak about these Tulvim? So Lamai Hilchot HaKatzina, why did the Torah come and write it? Why does the Torah write this? But only on these Tulvos you chayev, and the other Tulvos you're not chayev. What's with the Kalal of Prat HaKalal? Not exactly certain, but I think what the Gemara is trying to say is that even though generally we have Kalal of Prat HaKalal, here we have a special limit to tell us, don't want to write the Kalal of Prat HaKalal. Because the Torah is coming to say, I could have said nothing. But if I would have said nothing, he would have included all the Tulvos. I didn't need the Kalal of Prat HaKalal to come and tell me the Tulvos. If I wanted to tell the Tulvos, I could have said nothing. But now that I said these two psukim, so it must be that this is an overriding limit. This overriding limit is that you only include these two tools that are written explicitly and nothing else.
The overriding of these two.
That since the Torah has to say explicitly these two, if the Torah wants it, what is the upshot of what we said? You have a cloud of prophet cloud. The cloud of prophet cloud tells me that all tolls are, you hire for all tolls are shema, right? Is that what we concluded? That the Kval, the prophet Kval tells us that just like you, these are yichayas, so yichayas for all tolls. That's what you want to say. That's why you get malchus for Karisha. If that was the case, if the Torah wanted to tell me that I yichayas for all tolls, then why did the Torah have to say this? All these two, the Torah just said nothing, and we know all the Tulvos. Just like Shabbat doesn't say about the Tulvos, and they know the Tulvos. So it must be that in this case, although we generally have a rule of follow prophet cloud,
Here, the Pharisees themselves don't learn to follow past the cloud. I'm telling you that only these two and these two only and don't learn to follow past the cloud. Because if the Pharisees wanted to make a follow past the cloud, the Pharisees said, not the cloud and not the past and nothing.
So my question is, why did the Torah have to come in two steps? One, to list all of them?
No. So according to the one that says that that all fools are caught there, the reason why the Torah gave us this list is to tell us that these just only these two you're chayyur.
You could have said it without all listing all these.
No. The Torah only said four things. It said two obvious and told.
Right.
So these two told us. Why did the Torah tell us these two told us? To tell us only these two told us.
Right.
That's the one who said that you thought there for Charishka. Charishka and the Tulda and those that too.
Right.
That's it. I don't have more to explain. I have a better way to explain it. I'm not even sure that what I'm explaining is correct. That's what I was discussing with Rabbi Pekarsky before. So now the Gemara asks, you're not chayav for all the others, and now we're going to read very quickly because this is what we did earlier. I would think that you also now be the kashkis tachat the tazim, where you have tachat the tzvanim, that you know that the ma'adr the tachat tzvanim, ma'adr the kohen ma'ayim, that you know that the crevices of the water, where you have to give the tzvanim, that you know that they hold around the gap, and ma'adr the tzvanim, that you know that 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 the tzvanim, so the more asked, the Rabbanan cross my Kabbalah. That's the Rabbanan and the cross my Kabbalah. Same thing like the answers for Kabbalah. I just think it's getting late, so if you start with, you know, if you want to go back over later. So, speaking of Kabbalah, so the cross my Kabbalah. So the Pasuk is my Kabbalah, and it's all Nidar Rabbanan, those things that we just listed, and the only things that's us are according to that opinion. Who says that Harisha is, you don't get Malkus, because he holds like Rava that everything is Nidarabon and only those two bones. So those are the day right. He also does Dimi. Now we'll go off on a tangent. Now we'll move off onto another tangent, and then it'll come back. He also does Dimi. Rav Dimi, when he came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, I'm a Yaku Yilgala Pesit. And he says, I was in Eretz Yisrael. He comes with a story and he tells his father. I was in Eretz Yisrael. I was sitting at a shir. I heard a shir. I came in the middle. I don't know what they were talking about. But let me tell you these few words that I picked up. I don't know what topic was, and I don't know what the rule was. But let me tell you, maybe we can figure it out. He says, Kyotan Abdimi, Rabdimi says, I'm a Yachal Yilke Alapesh. I heard them saying in Yeshiva that I would have thought that we get Malkus for this place. We're going to find out what Pesach is, because he doesn't know. I heard you get Malkus for Pesach.
The Sefer Shis.
He doesn't say. Benotif Matalvuda. And Lipsodendik. And then Brian Patalvuda, that he passed the Lugget Zaina. And I don't know, my Talmud, I don't know what the Brian was talking about. So my Pesach is, and what Pesach is. Maybe you can decipher what this is. Or Lazar Omar, or Lazar says, you know, what you heard. They were talking about Chadisha. They were talking about Lam. That's what they say. I would have thought that you get Malkus for Chadisha. The Asya Mikhal of Prophet Klaal, that you learn it after Mikhal of Prophet Klaal. And now they told me, the Lipsurna and the Gemara and the Yeshiva learned that it's Pasuk. The way that we said that what either one or Rabbi Yeshua or Belaz would learn, that even though there's a Mikhal of Prophet Klaal, in this case, we don't learn the Mikhal of Prophet Klaal because of we wouldn't have to say anything. Because the ones that could teach us that every told us, we wouldn't have to say anything in that case. And since it says here, so it must be only these two. So Harisha is possible. Same thing like we said before. In Cain, Hani Kati Lamalu. So if not, why would we need all these stuff? It's a shorthand way of saying the Gemara that we said before. Rabbi Yehoshua said, so now we have, earlier we said that we don't know who said what, unless or Rabbi Yehoshua. Now we know who said what, unless or said what. And now Rabbi Yehoshua says, Amr Yamashah, Hebrew Chamel Pei Rosh Hashanah, that it's referring not to Rabbi Yochanan, is the one who says that Yechayiv Malkus. And so he says that what they said in the Eshet Shol that Yepater, they're not arguing with me. They're not talking about that case. They're talking about a different case. Rabbi Yochanan, the Yom Shishipah Chacham of Neder Shoshana, that is the days that the Chachamim added before Rosh Hashanah. There's a period before Rosh Hashanah that you already have to stop doing Malach. We're going to find out. We're going to talk about a whole long thing. So let's not talk about the exact period. But before Rosh Hashanah, you have to already start keeping the Shemitah HaKarban. V'hachika Amar. And this is what we say. Yosef Yilkal Tehzefet in Rosh Hashanah. I would have thought that you get Malkus for the places Rosh Hashanah, for plowing the field before Rosh Hashanah. The Asiyah of B'chari Shabbatah Tishbash, because we learn it out from the Pasuk of B'chari Shabbatah Tishbash. How do we know that the Torah wants us to stop plowing the field even before the Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah? That even in the sixth year, you have to stop. Because the Torah Pasuk of B'chari Shabbatah Tishbash, from plowing and from harvesting, you should rest. And also, what Talmudah, let's go to And even though I would have thought that because we have this pasuk that says that you have to let it rest fallow before Rosh Hashanah, that you get malchus if you don't let it rest, you do in fact plow the fields before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, the Gemara to tell us that no, you don't get malchus, as we're going to explain later why you don't. My younger was named.
Like we did over there.
What does it mean when we said that the days before Rosh Hashanah? Because it's not, as we said, a Mosei Chershon B'Sadar. When are you allowed to plow a field, a wheat field, before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah? Ilon Erev Shir. How are you not allowed to hours long before Rosh Hashanah to refrain from planting, from plowing in a field of trees, a orchard, So you're allowed to, so long as you can continue plowing before Shemitah, so long as it's good for the pears that were growing on the Shana Hashish. But you have fruit on the tree, and now you want to be Ma'adim, a Kashkesh, so you can do that so long as it's going to be beneficial to those.
To the 60th
trees that are now hanging on the tree. They still hang up, they still the agathas, holy and postful. The claim is the Eruviyat Idivayat. So, in fact, the machlekes is only about semantics. It's basically the same thing. That till when is beneficial for the fruits that are on the tree, it's only around Shulism. It's not exactly Shulism, but the Shaman is not exactly Shulism, and they still say it's true.
Sure, it's before Shemitah.
Before Shemitah. But Mosei Chershon told the tale of until when can you plow a wheat field? And she is in the sixth year. So moisture is evaporates from the ground. 12 months, and they also Chershon leave the and for long as people are still plowing to plant cucumbers and pumpkins. So long as you're doing that, then you can continue plowing in the sixth year. Shimon Aimer? So Shimon says, 1 second. So now you're saying, so long as people are doing X, the people do it. Not does everything on the same day. So in Cain, what's the Pharaoh's shear? It can't be that the Pharaoh is saying everybody has his own shear, any minor. That was to say, a lot of other passages. So tell what you're allowed to do in a wheat field until Pesach. Stay in Ilon at a terrace and in an orchard until Shmuel. You know, skip the next verse because they don't make any sense here. Well, Amr of Shimon ben Pazi, and Shimon ben Pazi, he said, Amr of Shulam, the Levi, in the name of Shulam, the Levi, Shulam ben Kafar, the name of Bar Kafar, that Rabbi Gamliel of Beis Dinnei, that Rabbi Gamliel and his staff, they knew, they ruled, they proposed and ruled, they'll say, Krakim Alolu, at these two periods of Shavuos and Pesach will be them. And they said that they're bottled, that you no longer have to follow that rule.
After the Churban, that means?
No, when Rav Gamliel said you don't have to do it. He said that there was a Xera, we made a Sakana, and now we're thinking about the Sakana. It has nothing to do with the Churban. It's just they decided that they didn't like it. Other than Rav Zera said, how could you say that the Shulman and Levi said that by Kaparta that the Leo was Mavatalit, we have a rule You have a general rule, you can't be mevatel a takana.
Others say that Rav Shlakish had asked Rav Yechon on this question. How could you say that Rav Galil was mevatel Rav Galil based in the Hechimah and mevatel takana to the Beishamay Beisila? This was the takana of Beishamay Beisila. Beishamay Beisila was long before Rav Galil. How could Rav Galil come and be mevatel a takana of Beishamay Beisila? But now we learn, ain't that the Yechon about the Beis Hakamidi? You cannot come, one person cannot come and be mevatel a takana of an earlier death than Elie Kegalu and Chakam. Unless the latter one is greater both in number and in chacham. Now, certainly, Rabbi Galil's yeshiva wasn't as big as the yeshivas of Beishan and Beisil, because they, in the final Beishan and Beisil, those were the only two big yeshivas. So, can't be that it was bigger than Minyan, and presumably wasn't bigger than chacham. So, Yishtayman Kishachad, so he was silent for a moment, whoever it was that was asked, we don't know who was that, because we have two opinions about who asked who this question, but Yishtayman, the one who was asked, was silent for a moment. Amar Lay, he said to the person who had asked, in either version, Amar Kach Yisna Beinayim, that at the time that Beishamim Beishilo made this comment, that you're not allowed to do from Shavuos and Pesach, so they made a condition that whoever wants in a later generation to come and mevatel this takana, is not a permanent takana. This is a takana that so long as everyone wants to keep it, it's going to be kept. And if some future generation they want to be mevatel, they can. Generally, when a Beis Din made a takana, they didn't make such a condition. They just said this is a takana and that's it. So unless you're bigger and smarter than us, you can't be mevatel.
This one,
they said, if you want, you can be mevatel. And that's what happened. The mevatel,
So the Gemara asks, one second, you're saying that Beishamim, Beisil made this takana? Beishamim, Beisil didn't make this takana? It's not what Beishamim, Beisil made. And now that comes back to what we originally said, the upshot is going to be that Halakha Beishamim, Beisil is 30 days before it came. Shana Bisillo and said, not from Rosh Chodesh Elul, but all the way back to Shavuos and the Pesach Pesach. So the Yavatul Bituini, if it's from the Shana Bisillo, Allah Kamesh Mishina, it was Allah Kamesh Mishina, how can come into Yavatul? And how did he even come to make a Bekani? He's the Omer Rabati of Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua is the name of Rabbi Yeshua, and Mishum Ben Chunia Ish, the Kastik person, and the name of Ben Chunia, who lived in, who was a Kastik person, heaven is T.A.'s. There's a bunch of rules that we're going to find that these rules are halakha l'meishan mishin. As in the PA, that we say that if you have 10 trees in a field that's no greater than 50 amas by 750 amas, so that's considered a thick forest. And chershin chalasav shalav b'shilam be'ereshviyas ad rosh hashanah. Such a field you can plow until Rosh Hashanah. Since you have 10 trees within 50 amas, that's considered an abnormally thick field, and you can plow with until Rosh Hashanah. From that implicit, from that rule, that explicit rule, implicitly, you learn halacha mishum Sinai that anything that's less than that, you're not allowed to plow.
Those are young trees, by the way.
I'm sorry?
Those are young trees.
Yes. But if you have 10 trees with 50, so it's considered thick enough that we're concerned about it. So they require, I'm sorry I didn't get into all the details, but what we see that halacha l'meishan Sinai is that you're allowed to plow those fields until Rosh Hashanah. So what's implicit from that is that other fields you're not allowed to do even from before Rosh Hashanah. And the rule of Adava. Arava is that that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would go and walk around the, like what we do as Shainis, they would walk around, that Shainis is a commemoration of the Hakafa around the Mashiach, the Arava. And then they would put a long Arava over the Mashiach.
What? They just choose your time with Arava, not with Ulaki?
No, Arava. Vakit on the Mashiach.
We don't go just with, we go with the lulav and not just with the
half
and another. We don't go just with an another because we don't want to say that what we're doing is going around in the space. So we walk around with the lulav and the hashukah. So we have this case of Ethanathiyat Adava, the Nisachamayim, and the just that there was poured water on Sukkot on the Mizbeach, that's all our Lacha Lamishin. Lacha Lamishin is in the Amar of Yitzchak. So Yitzchak said, so we're seeing that it's already a Lacha Lamishin, we've seen that already from before Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to plow ordinary fields. So Ki Gneri Hilchot, so when did we say that Lacha Lamishin is in the Rosh Hashanah? Only 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. That you know, you have to stop running from Pesach and Shavuot, depending on the type of field. And at the time that they made this takana, they said among themselves, "Kalavetu mevatul yomim vatul." And any future generation, anyone who did mevatul this takana can be mevatul. Ani hilchus eninu. So that okay. So yomim vatul.
Doesn't it seem adding on to the Torah that halacha must be seen in 30 days? They're saying, no, we want to add on more. Doesn't it seem to be a low to grow, the low...
You know, you have, as long as that you're not saying that it's minatera, on the Paltasis and Paltasigra is a huge machlekatir shame, and it's the undiscovered connection that's ready really late. But Rashi says that what is Paltasis? Paltasis doesn't mean it's mine. Paltasis means adding... putting on a fill-in with You say if you put on others say that it's a Zman. But the point is that even in Zman, you can add it on if it's absolutely clear that he's saying that it's Midrabban. So for example, so let me deal with these directly. So the Torah says, everybody agrees. Everyone agrees. All of our shayim. Everyone agrees. It's right from the Gemara that in Chutz La'aretz you keep 8 days of Pesach. It turns to 7 days. Falsehood. Because everyone knows that the eighth day is the Darabana. No one's saying that you're adding it on the right. Chanukah. How do you make a Yom Tov of Chanukah? Turns out 3 Yom Tovim. How do you make Chanukah? Everybody knows it's the Darabana. Purim. How does it written in Tanakh? You add it on one of the 24 centuries of Sifrei Kedush. You add it on the Megillah's Esther, for which he made a takana to have put in. I'm putting when you have Teresa of included. So I'll say this. They know. Nobody's claiming that it's very nice there. Commonly say, let me tell you, Moshe Rabbeinu said 6:13, but God just told me 6:14, and this is a mitzvah that
that's
adding a bad focus. That's generally how most the Shonim end up deficit. The Gemara asks, "Rani Hilchos Aninu, are these really halachah l'mishum Sinai? They're not halachah l'mishum Sinai. It's from a pasuk. It's not in this list. A pasuk b'charish of a pasuk Tishbeis that on Shmita you should rest from plowing and from harvesting." Even though it seems to be talking about Shabbat, but we don't hear it for Shabbat, so it's talking about Shmita. Great observation. They are talking about, it happens to be talking about Shabbat, but we have a rule that in the target is once it says Moisat and Kal Malach, I didn't need Bukharish with Pasuk Tishrei.
Right.
Okay, it comes to teach us something else, comes to teach us Shmita. Again, so the Kiva Omer, so the Kiva says, Ein Tzach Leiva Chosh V'Kasu Shal Shviya, Shereg Tumer Nevar, Sot Chaloi V'Kam Sot Chaloi Tizra, Kam Chaloi Tizra. Ela Mechavir Shal Peder Shviya, Shnichnit L'Shviya. So we learn out, according to this opinion, that it's not a local mission in Sinai. We actually learned it out from a pasuk. We said, you know, what did we say? We don't need this pasuk in the first to teach us for Shabbos, because we already have a pasuk for Shabbos, so it's fun to teach us Shmita. Esther, Bikila, what are you talking about? That I don't need it for Shabbos, I need it for Shmita. I already have a pasuk for Shmita. I have a pasuk for Shabbos, I have a pasuk for Shmita. So what is this pasuk coming to teach me? So we concluded that
It's coming to teach us erushin. We already have a pasuk that tells us that you have to be mitzvah chelo shabbos. Yes, we already have a pasuk. That can't be teaching us from erushin to shabbos and from mitzvah shabbos to shabbos. So what must we be teaching? And we're also cutting it not for shabbos, not for shita, but for erushin. Because we already have not for shabbos, not for erushin, and not for shita, but for erushin. So you said it's halacha mishnah. We say it's a pasuk, and we're just going to continue on, so we're just going to stop here at the end of the share.
These are long and drawn out and hard.
They made this year a little bit longer.